The Gospel of our ascended Savior, Jesus Christ, recorded in Luke chapter 24. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the Gospel of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, who has ascended and will return for you. Dear brothers and sisters, today is a good day for pictures. Not only because it's Ascension Day, but because it's Mother's Day. And so many of you might be taking a picture with or of Mother on this day. And that's good. Others of you might look at pictures of your mother, especially if your mother is not with you here, or if your mother has gone home to eternal glory. Maybe looking at a picture of your mother will remind you of her love. Others of you might look at a picture of your mother over Skype or Google Hangout if she's not here. I might try to do that today to see my mother who is in a different state. It's a good day for pictures. Pictures can be important and powerful reminders of those we love, especially when they are not near us. When I first moved out here, I moved out by myself. I was not married. Yet I had pictures of the important women in my life that I brought with me. I think my mother maybe dropped off a framed picture at my apartment to make sure I wouldn't forget about her or something like that were her words. But I had a picture of my mother. I had a picture of my grandmother who had already gone home into heaven, and I had a picture of my fiancée, who, not to have a spoiler alert her, but she would go on to be the mother of my children, my wife, but she was my fiancée at that time, and in this picture that I had of her, I thought it was just a beautiful picture, but when she saw it, she was confused the first time when she saw this picture that I had. It was a lovely picture of her smiling, and then there was this trophy smallmouth bass that she was holding, too, that she had caught on a fishing trip we had done together. But the picture was really of her. Anyways, pictures are important. They're important. They remind you of people that aren't close to you. Reminds you of your love for them, their love for you. And so, though it is Mother's Day and Ascension Day in one, Ascension Day is really about a picture as well. Ascension Day is the last picture that the disciples will ever see of Jesus with their own eyes on this earth. And so to prepare for that picture, Jesus leads them up to the vicinity of Bethany. That's just a touch east of Jerusalem, kind of on the top of the Mount of Olives. And if you go up to the vicinity of Bethany, well, they would have seen some incredible pictures. You go up to the vicinity of Bethany, you look out over Jerusalem, and you see a beautiful picture of the Jerusalem skyline. And they would have seen quite a picture from up there. They would have seen the temple shining, gleaming with reflected sunlight back at them. But before Jesus gave them the final picture of himself, and while they were looking at those beautiful pictures of greater metropolitan Jerusalem, well, they might have seen some other pictures in their mind too that they wouldn't have wanted to frame and keep. Looking at Jerusalem, they would have seen that beautiful temple shining in the sun, but from that vantage point, you can see pretty much all of Jerusalem. And they would have seen some pictures, they would have seen some sights right from the top of that hill that would have given them probably awful memories. From that vantage point, they could have looked down the hill and seen the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'd have to think the pictures were still vivid in their mind, flashing through of that awful, terrible night when Jesus is arrested and he's beaten already and taken into trial. Oh, but then that awful night when they had denied him. And Peter tried to decrease the high priest's servant's ear quota by half. Whew. And then they would have looked out and they could have seen the stone pavement area where Pontius Pilate proclaimed his sentence upon Jesus. And more than that, the crowds were gathered and screaming, "Crucify!" From there they could have seen perhaps the rock outcropping that the locals called Golgotha, place of the skull where Jesus' cross had been put up. And oh my goodness, how could they get those awful, horrid pictures of their loved one dying in such a violent manner out of their mind? But then also they could have seen that city and realized, well, they might have recognized a few houses where people lived, people who killed Jesus, people who wanted to kill them. Because looking down that hill, seeing Jerusalem, they realized the same people who killed him were waiting for them. That was a picture of their future. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." In Jerusalem? "That didn't work out so well for you, Christ. And you are Christ." And then finally they could have looked around and seen pictures of each other right there. They would have seen an ex-tax collector and an ex-zealot. That's kind of a nice way for, well, nearly terrorist, revolutionary at least. They would have seen each other and they would have seen their own weaknesses. In fact, they could look right at a picture of themselves in the mirror and see so many ways and reasons why they could not do what Jesus was calling them to do. Be witnesses in Jerusalem. But maybe you heard that. Not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What? These guys? They didn't have their stuff together. I mean, at least they're not hiding behind locked doors at this point. They seem to have gotten over that. But even at this point in time, they're saying, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now?" In other words, now do we get all the good stuff here on earth that you promised? They still don't quite get the mission of the church. And they're supposed to be on the front lines of the evangelism goal to convert the world. Ooh. I think they would have seen a number of awful pictures on that day of ascension that would have been flashing through their mind. Well, maybe they're not that different from us. There's no great vantage point that I know of where you can just go on top of it and look out over all of Woodbridge. Maybe if we climbed a water tower. Don't try that. Don't try that, kids. But if we just look out to the world around us, what pictures do we see? Gut-wrenching, heart-ripping pictures of pain and tragedy and disaster and abuse and death. We see it in the world around us, but then it hits us personally. We see it in our own lives too, as we face personal struggles and tragedy. As we have people betray us and hurt us. It doesn't look so good out there. And the same spirit of the people who hated Jesus is still out there today, and I don't need to tell you about that if you've ever tried to witness to the name of Christ in the world or even closer to some of your friends, relatives, acquaintances, and neighbors. Not always a pleasant experience. And then God has called you to service. He's put you in a church to serve Him. He's put you in a family to serve Him. He's put you in a place of employment, perhaps, or a school, or somewhere else. And He's called you to do and be things. But at times we feel so unequipped for that. We know all our weaknesses and we say, "Lord, are you sure I'm supposed to be here at this place at this time doing what you've called me to do? No, Lord, help. I can't do it." No, and that picture in the mirror doesn't always look so nice either. It doesn't I don't mean that you might have a few more gray hairs this year than last or something. I mean that picture of when you look in your own heart and mind. You see words and thoughts and attitudes and actions that disturb you because you have a sinful nature that lives in you, and that pesky sinful nature doesn't go away on this side of heaven. So you think things that you say, oh Lord, how could I think that? You say things at times that you say, oh, I wish I could get that back. You do and you don't do things as God would have you do and not do. And so you know what that picture of guilt and sin and shame is. And sometimes you wonder, if you're honest, God, could you really love me? Could you really forgive me? And that's why we need ascension. And that's why we need a new picture to burst through and break through all these pictures that surround our hearts and minds and eyes day by day. So on this day, the disciples are there, but Jesus gathers you too. He had the Holy Spirit record these words so that you would hear them today, and so that you might know what he wants you to know. So come. Come gather around. There's plenty of room. There's 11 of them up there, but there's more room. Jesus gathers us all around it, and what do we see then as he gives us his final picture? With some incredible details. He starts to ascend to heaven, but he's going up only to eventually come back down. The angels mention that point. He's ascending, but he's coming back. And when he comes back, final victory is given for you and for me. He's coming back because this world is dying, and when he comes back, all of those headlines of death and pain and abuse and anger and greed and awfulness will be done. When he comes back, all sin will be conquered forever. When he comes back, death will be no more. When he comes back, your sin will be no more. He wins. He wins. He wins. Whether you see it or whether you feel it, it's true. He wins. And because he wins, you win too. In fact, right now, today, God says you are more than a conqueror through him who loved you, through him who ascended into high. As I said in the introduction of the service, he's not going up there to retire. He didn't go up into heaven to finally make it through his list of television shows that he hasn't been able to binge watch all the way through. He's not going up there to relax. He's going up there to rule all things for your good. And he will continue to do that. He wins, you win. Another detail. A cloud came and covered him from their sight. The cloud covered him, but it didn't mean he disappeared. He didn't pull some kind of an Obi-Wan Kenobi job where he just kind of vanished out into some nether world. A cloud came and hid him, and they didn't see him, but he's still here. He says, surely I am with you always, every day of your life. And every time that you hear the Word of God and meditate on that Word of God, he is as close to you as he was in a boat with Peter or James or John. He's right there. And he knows your name. And he knows those hairs that have turned gray this year too. He's still here. You are not alone. And then finally, oh, and I like this. What a beautiful picture. His hands are up in blessing. How wonderful. As he goes up into heaven, his hands are up in blessing. His hands aren't making some rude gesture at the disciples in the world, saying, oh yeah, well, that's the last you're going to see of me. His hands aren't kind of going like this, going, I am out of here. Good luck. No, his hands are up in blessing. And what would they have seen, brothers and sisters, with hands up in blessing? They would have seen nail marks. The nail marks were still there, which would have reminded them, oh, yes, it was awful when he died on the cross, but it was wonderful, too. profoundly wonderful, for in those nail marks, that's the answer. That's the answer to all my guilt, to all of my shame, to all of my despair. That's the answer to my identity crisis that I have every day. It's in those nail marks. Because if He died for my sins, I am forgiven. I am one with God, and I am precious and priceless and perfect in His sight. And that's your answer too. It's in the nail marks. That's where your forgiveness is. That's where your identity is. That's where God's love is shown for you. And those hands are still up in blessing upon you today, and they are not going down. You are loved. You are approved. God loves you. Maybe we just need to interject a thought in here on this dual day, Ascension Day and Mother's Day. I'll admit, anytime we come around to a day that involves some kind of family dynamic, I'll be honest with you, I get just a little bit hesitant. I want to celebrate, and we should celebrate, the blessings that God gives through Christian mothers. And I hope that you can have wonderful memories of your mother. But we need to be honest, and I know what the truth is, that not all of you have wonderful memories of your mother. And so when you come around to a day like Mother's Day, especially if you did suffer abuse to some kind or to some degree, this is not necessarily a happy day for you, and hearing things like Happy Mother's Day maybe doesn't fill your heart with joy. Or, in another aspect, those of you who are mothers, you come around to a day like Mother's Day, and you see all the wonderful things everyone else's kids are doing for their mothers, and how their mothers are just the best in the world, and this and that and the other thing, and maybe you don't feel like you're the world's best mother, or you just feel like you can't get through another day. And so when you hear all kinds of prayers for the thanks, for the love and patience and compassion of Christian mothers and how wonderful they are, it might sting your conscience or actually make you feel burdened, saying, oh, really? Or, you know, the devil's so good at doing what he does, he twists these things too. If you aren't a mother, you might not feel approved on a day like Mother's Day. Like you didn't do something or you weren't something you should be. Oh, boy, days like this, guilt can get wrapped in there, and bad pictures and bad memories and bad feelings can get all the way in there too. But on this day, dear mothers, know this. Jesus' hands are up in blessing upon you. Though your mother or though your father would forsake you, your Savior never will. And He loves you. And you are perfect in His sight. And you are cleansed. And if you don't think you can get through one more day, well, neither did the disciples. But He was with them, and He will be with you. And He will bless what you do for His glory. And fathers and brothers and sisters too. Jesus' hands are up upon you. His nail-marked hands. And He's going to prepare a place for you. And He's written your name in heaven, your name. He knows it. He loves you. So on this day, He invites you, just like those disciples, to look at that picture. That picture that will never change. That picture of His love for you. That picture of His blessing for you. That picture which means you will live forever with Him. May that picture fill your heart and your mind with inexpressible joy and hope as you long to see that picture in life in heaven. Happy Ascension Day. Amen.